Over the past little while, we've been hearing about the early life of Moses. We've been seeing similarities between Moses and Jesus. Both were in danger of death as infants. Both were rejected by their own people. In today's reading from the book of Exodus, Moses, who was at the time a fugitive from justice, having killed an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite, was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, a very humble occupation for the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he experienced a theophany, an extraordinary appearance or vision of God. God appeared as a bush that was on fire, but was not consumed. God told Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses rightly questioned why anyone would listen to him and asked God what his name was. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." You know, when we're asked who we are, we typically give our name and then, "I'm a farmer, I'm a teacher, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm a student." We describe ourselves by what we do. But the eternal God said simply, "I am." God just is. No beginning, no end, no address, no occupation. When God said, "I am," he was affirming that he is not just one being among many, not one God among many gods. God is being itself. If that doesn't sound confusing to you, it should. St. Augustine said, "Even when he reveals himself, God remains a mystery. If you understood him, it would not be God." When I try to contemplate God, I often get more confusion than clarity. I ultimately surrender, simply marveling at the great love and wisdom that gave birth to the universe, our world, and each one of us. And the name "I am" seems without question to be the most accurate way of expressing in human terms the inexpressible mystery of being itself. It's worthwhile for each of us to contemplate God, the mysterious "I am." We'll never understand God, but we will grow in our love for God, and our hearts will be filled with thanksgiving and praise. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets, but in Jesus, God spoke in person. God, the creator of the universe, the timeless "I am," became one of us. And in Jesus, we reach the clearest understanding of God. The fact that Jesus is both divine and human, both God and man, is the cornerstone of our faith. Yet some theologians contend that Jesus never claimed to be divine, except maybe in the Gospel of John. And they argue because John's gospel was the last to be written, it is somehow less reliable. They suggest that we should look exclusively at Matthew, Mark, Luke, the so-called synoptic gospels. And they maintain that in those gospels, Jesus doesn't claim to be God. Well, in the gospels, we certainly don't hear Jesus parading around the countryside shouting, "I am God, I am God." I mean, that would have gotten him rejected immediately and probably killed. But throughout Jesus' public ministry, he revealed his divine identity slowly, often obscurely, building his credibility through his words, his works, and his miracles. One of the ways he did it was by using the divine name, "I am." In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." See, these are more than just self-descriptions, more than job titles. His listeners would have heard those words, "I am," and immediately connected them to our reading today from the book of Exodus. Jesus made this even more clear when he was talking to the Jews about Abraham. He said, "Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." they responded that Jesus could not have known Abraham. Abraham was dead long before Jesus was born. And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Hard to miss that one. They would surely have understood the claim that Jesus was making. And we read that the crowd tried to stone him when he said that. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus walked on the water, and when the disciples in the boat saw him, he said, "It is I," literally, "I am." At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" See, the term Son of Man is a reference to the book of Daniel. He used the term to describe a divine being equal to God. So this reference also would not have been lost on his disciples. And then Jesus asked, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter was saying two things. Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, and he was also the Son of the living God. The Messiah was expected to be a human person, but the Son of God was surely divine. And Jesus affirmed Peter's statement, thereby affirming his divinity. After Jesus' arrest, he went before Caiaphas, the high priest, who asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God?" Jesus responded, "I am," those words again, "and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And we know that the high priest tore his robes as a sign that he had heard blasphemy. Jesus had claimed to be God. So now, near the end of his earthly life, he more clearly announced his divinity. In our first reading today, God shared his divine name, "I am." We don't question the divinity of God, but some contend that Jesus was just a man, an extraordinary man, but not divine. This was the basis of the Arian heresy, a false teaching that threatened the early church. But even today, some theologians question or reject Jesus' divinity based on some of the things he said and some of the things he didn't say. Those who make such claims either haven't read the Gospels carefully or they fail to read them from the perspective of a first century Jew, which was Jesus' audience. I'm sharing this with you for two reasons. First, I think you need to be armed to defend your faith in the divinity and the humanity of Jesus based on his own words and actions. My time today is limited, but if you'd like to know more about this, I would recommend a book titled The Case for Jesus. It's written by Brant Petrie, P-I-T-R-E, Brant Petrie. And lastly, I want you to marvel at the inexpressible love of Jesus, who is truly divine, who is truly God, who willingly joined the human condition to save us from our sins, to teach us how to live in this world, and to invite us into a special union with him here on earth and hereafter. Please stand. Jesus offers rest to all who labor and are overburdened, and so we pray for those who hold office in the church, that they may experience God's support and our loyalty.